How you entrepreneurs, today we have Melanie Malone. She is a plastic surgeon. I think the best way she describes it is maybe you're taking a filter, you're taking a picture, doing some kind of social media post, and you'd want to do one of those filters on it, and you go, wow, I just look so much better in this filter compared to who I look like in real life. She says, bring that picture on, and she'll kind of give you a truthful understanding, not sell you, but give you an idea of maybe there could be some changes that could be done that could really help you out and make you feel 100%. She's very passionate about the plastic surgery. So if you're looking to get into the field, she'll kind of walk you through what got her into it and what keeps pushing her forward when she has those struggles. Please subscribe and listen. Love your feedback. Thanks, guys.
Welcome to the Road to Growth, Success of an Entrepreneur.
We've raised the bar.
Learn firsthand from successful business owners and create your own path to success.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
It's time to hit the road to growth with real estate agent Vinny SD.
All right. Thank you, Melanie Malone.
Yes, you got it.
Not Maloney.
Correct.
She is a plastic surgeon.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That focuses more on facial work.
I'm a subspecialist. So okay. I'm actually a board certified facial plastic surgeon.
Okay.
And that means that I only deal in cosmetic and reconstructive surgeries of the face and
okay.
neck.
Okay. So what brought you into the field? What brought you into that idea that you want to be a plastic surgeon?
A long story of a lot of small decisions. And so I was reading this thing recently, and it talks about how great outcomes are the culmination of a lot of very small things, lot of very small efforts that people make, a lot of very small things, small accomplishments. And that's how I would describe it.
Okay. Do you remember that first moment where you're like, I want to help people?
Yes. In medical school, I was sure I wanted to do something surgical.
Okay.
So much in medicine is incredibly heavy and depressing and very hard emotionally.
Yeah.
Plastic surgery is the opposite of that.
Yeah.
It's a very invigorating, exciting industry where you're helping people. You're either providing a service that's an aesthetic surgery, which is someone living their best life, feeling the best about themselves, really like having that joy and that enthusiasm about being their best self, and it's all kind of wrapped up in self-care. Or you're doing a reconstructive surgery on a child with a cleft lip, and that's a tremendous, game-changing, really influential moment in their lives. But it's all positive, and it's all wrapped around positivity and moving forward. And so much of medicine is dealing with hardship and disease process.
So we'll take a second, if you're okay with it, dive into this. So you didn't know you wanted to be a plastic surgeon until med school, but you knew you wanted to be a doctor earlier on in life?
I did. I always knew I wanted to be a doctor. I knew I wanted to do something surgical. I was always very fascinated by plastic surgery because that's this very like splashy thing that you see that you're exposed to as a layperson outside of the field. And I just felt so excited by it. And that's really what drove me to it. And then along the way, once you're in medical school and once you're in training for surgery and everything, you meet people along the way and you just feel like, I want to be that person in 10 years.
Yeah.
I want to do what they're doing. I want to feel the way they feel. I want to have that kind of life that, you know, that where they patients are thanking them and they're having these really meaningful relationships with people. And that's really more than anything what shaped the decision to kind of go into my exact subspecialty.
Was there ever a point, because maybe there's high school kids, people in college that still aren't sure what they want to do. Was there ever a point where you're like, I'm going to be going to the med school, maybe a plastic surgeon. There's going to be a lot of schooling that I'm going to need to take on. Were you kind of scared about that? Or was it just like, this is what my goal is. This is my passion. I'm just going to go for it.
That the latter.
Okay.
And to everyone who's out there who's thinking that that might be what they want to do. And it really, this relates completely outside of medicine or plastic surgery.
Yeah.
Every person has this inner voice where they know so truly to themselves that there's something that's very exciting to them. And it is so important to try to make a space for yourself where there's quiet to hear that and to feel that. Because from that moment forward, once you feel like you have that drive to do it, every single person you encounter, well-meaning or not, is going to have some type of feedback that's going to enumerate the difficulty of that pathway. And how much time it's going to take, and how much money you're going to have to borrow, and how much failure rate there is, and how difficult it's going to be to overcome the obstacles to get there. And unless you have that one small voice inside of you, like protected, to say, I'm not going to listen to everybody else. Unless you had a moment to create that and understand that and hear that, it'll get washed away.
Was there a way that you're allowed to just be one with yourself and actually hear that voice? Or is there like a thing you do?
It's different for everybody. And okay. I think that we're in the era of self-care now. And so everyone wants to talk about mindfulness and meditation and yoga or whatever it is. I think that a lot of people are just talking about the same thing.
Yeah.
Whatever someone is able to do to be in touch with themselves and to have a really emotionally honest conversation with themselves.
Yeah.
And I put, you know, I was thinking about this where you were asking what are some obstacles that you deal with on a day-to-day basis. And I think a huge obstacle is our own ego. Because everyone lives in a place of, what do my friends do? What will my parents think it's good if I do? Well, what do my family members, what will they be impressed by? And it's so hard to try to separate out what's inside of me.
Yeah.
It's so hard to try to separate out and say, like, what is like really exciting for me, this individual, this small voice inside of my mind, that if I were able to pull this off, this idea, if I was able to pull it off, I wouldn't really care what they all thought about it.
Wow.
Because I would be like, I didn't do it for you. you know? So I think it's important to try to ask yourself that question. And I think that in the era that people are talking about meditation and mindfulness, I think a lot of it's getting at the same thing. It's trying to really be in touch with yourself.
If you reach that goal, will you be happy and be able to fight for it?
If you reach that goal that you think inside, like, maybe I should try to do this. Like, is it possible?
Yeah.
But say to yourself, if you reach that goal, would you care if anyone else thought it was a stupid goal? And if your answer is no, I wouldn't care, then like double down.
Yeah.
That's your goal.
So learning the schooling of plastic surgery, med school, and so on and so forth, that's one thing. But you've opened up your own practice.
Yes.
And so that's a wholly different ballpark right there.
Yes.
Is how do you come across to know what the next steps are? Was there something in school that they were kind of helping you out? How to build your own practice? Was it a friend, family member?
It came from inside of me. I was always... So people don't like going to the doctor.
Yeah.
Would you agree? Do you like going to the doctor?
No.
It's miserable. Yeah. I hate going to the doctor.
Yeah.
Now I'm my own doctor, but I used to hate going to the doctor. And the reason why is because it's a very unpleasant experience. Nothing about it is, there's no effort or thoughtfulness put into trying to make that experience pleasant for the consumer. And I really just didn't want to work in a place like that.
Yeah.
Because as much as you don't want to go to the doctor, the hospital, no one else wants to then be that doctor where no one wants to go to. So I felt so sure that I wanted to create a space that was like a different experience.
Okay.
I wanted to kind of remove it from the busy, we don't have time, overworked, stressed, bad attitude environment that people encounter a lot of times at their doctor and create a space that was the opposite of that.
Yeah.
A slow space, a space for joy, a space for reflection, a space that it's something that's a delightful part of your day.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to do that unless you feel like you can be the controlling business owner.
Yeah. And so has it been a learning experience, or has it been pretty easy to transition to building your own practice?
Nothing about it has been easy.
Okay.
But if it was easy, it also wouldn't have been a gratifying journey.
Okay. What are some of like the hurdles that you've had to overcome to build your practice?
The first and foremost is self-doubt.
Okay.
There's so many hurdles every day. Every day there's going to be some kind of contract problem, some kind of legal issue. There's going to be a staffing personnel issue. There's going to be a credentialing licensure snafu. There's going to be this kind of problem is going to happen every day of the week. Those problems aren't hard to solve, right? You have to find good help or sit down yourself in front of your computer and phone for an hour and a half to solve that problem.
Yeah.
But when you string those problems together day after day after day, it's very easy to start asking yourself, like, why am I doing this?
Yeah. You know?
And so I would say that the biggest problem to overcome is self-doubt. And so constantly reorienting to be like, there is a reason why I'm doing this. It's because on the other side of all these problems, like I'm chasing this thing that's in the future. And if I can overcome all these like little logistical things, it could be a wonderful experience. And so just having the persistence to like keep at it in the face of no return, trying to start a business or even trying to become a doctor, you're 14 years in, you haven't seen the light of day. You're in this miserable tunnel. You're working really hard. You've gotten no gratification. And you sit there and you're just like, why am I doing this? Like, this is awful. But if you can be like the last person standing, if you can be the last person who shows up again the next day after everyone else has just been like, forget this, I'm going home. I promise you, then you will be then you will be like on the other end of it and be like the successful person.
What, so is that drive been that that dream of being something different, being a practice that people want to go to? Is that what's been kind of pushing through those hurdles, being through those struggle, those tough moments?
Yeah, all of it. I mean, as much as that's been a part of it, it's also been that this is something that I can relate to as a consumer.
Okay.
So something that's really fascinating about plastic surgery, and I look at a lot of other industries, like being a business owner, plastic surgery is a very unique industry because most industries, the it's called like the driver pedestrian paradox, right? Yeah. If you're driving in the car and a pedestrian kind of juts out to cross the street, you're aggravated by them, right? But you're forgetting that the day before you were that pedestrian trying to cross the street and you were very frustrated that the traffic was being so aggressive.
Yeah.
Okay, so this kind of paradox exists. Most industries, if you want to buy a house, if you want to buy a sandwich for lunch, you've also been in the position where you live in a house.
Yeah.
You eat sandwiches. And so if you're the purveyor of sandwiches and making sandwiches, you know how to make a really great sandwich because you eat them every day.
Yeah.
A huge, overwhelming percentage of plastic surgeons that are servicing the cosmetic and aesthetic industry are men. Mm. An overwhelmingly small minority of patients are men.
Oh, wow.
This is a very unique aspect to this industry. Okay, the provider, the purveyor of it is not the consumer of it, period.
Yeah.
There is an inherent disconnect that cannot be overcome unless you have personally experienced the desire to have something done or having gotten something done in the plastic surgery realm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, do you think there's a negative connotation with men getting plastic surgery? That why it's...
No, we live in the most woke era that's ever existed.
Yeah.
I couldn't be more grateful to live in it. Mm. Men are getting plastic surgery. Women are getting plastic surgery. Everyone of every age is getting plastic surgery.
Yeah.
And we also live in a time, I think highly related to social media's like expanding prevalence, that people are not even afraid of it or shameful of it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like loud and proud, and it's a wonderful time.
Yeah.
So I don't think that there's as much of a stigma as there used to be.
Yeah. Well, no, because I could see, like, if I looked at like, my father or something like that, you know, 20 years ago, it'd probably be like, frowned upon, especially coming from on his side, coming from a Mexican culture where it's like machismo, I don't need to do that.
Sure.
And so I would think with the social media, everything happening, it's probably becoming less of a stigma, I think, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so what do you think, like, I know it's a big proportion of women to men that probably get some kind of work done. Do you think it's like an 80-20, 90-10?
Oh, more.
10?
No.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Still, the majority of the patient population is women.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, I think that will continue to that like heavily skewed ratio will continue to kind of normalize to the mean as time goes on. But it's just what it is now. The overwhelming majority are women.
Yeah.
And there aren't women providers as much.
Yeah. So, if you could walk us through just like a would be like a consultation, because there's probably a lot of people listening right now. You know, maybe not in the profession of being a plastic surgeon, but maybe thinking about getting work themselves done. If they walked into you, right, what's the process like saying, okay, I'm kind of self-conscious about my nose?
So I like to boil down the process to something that's a little bit like less technical.
Okay.
My process in a consultation is, what is that thing that really bothers you?
Yeah.
And address that. I so don't believe in hard selling people, upselling, tacking on other stuff. It's a dizzying, disorienting process to begin with, to even take on the mental journey, like, hey, do I really want to change this thing about identifying feature about myself or improve upon it? That already is so loaded emotionally. It's tied up with your self-esteem. It's tied up with your advancement at work. For a lot of my patients, you know, professionals, aging in the workforce, they feel a lot of pressures because there's a crop of younger people constantly coming in behind them. And so there's already such a loaded emotional journey to go on that I like to boil it down for people and make it very simple and try to like say, what's the one thing that's bothering to you? If that one thing, you know, could be made better, would that make your day easier? And go with that and leave the other noise outside.
Do you think because you've thought about some kind of surgery in the past, that allows you the ability, you can put yourself in that person's shoes so you don't feel like you're upselling them? You feel like, how would I want to be talked to?
Absolutely. Yeah. Everyone knows when they're being coerced or pressured, and it's a really bad feeling.
Yeah.
But and so I just disagree with that. And a lot of, you know, not everyone's doing that, but
yeah.
but a lot of people feel so self-conscious and so vulnerable at that moment
yeah.
that I think it's really the time to meet them in a safe space.
Well, I think it's probably easier for someone to take advantage of another person if you can't envision yourself being that person's shoes. I mean, that's...
Yeah,
that's
hard to know.
Yeah, I mean, so that yeah.
It's impossible to walk in anyone else's shoes until you've... You know, everyone has these ideas about what yeah. they think about. You know, I had a lot of ideas about how I was going to be as a parent.
Yeah.
And came from a place of judgment.
Oh, wow.
Of, you know, thinking like, oh, I'll never do that. And now you're my parent. I'm like, oh, it's all good.
Yeah.
You guys are doing great. So it's impossible to really, it's no, impossible until you're to really know until yeah. you've had that experience. Yeah.
So what other, has there been any other, I mean, big hurdles that either in schooling, it sounds like you have a really passionate personality of that you know what you want to do.
Yes.
But there's been had to be a lot of different struggles of schooling. Like I
yes, school is very challenging. Yeah. The sheer amount of time is very challenging. Yeah. When you graduate college and all of your friends are getting, you know, jobs and they're busy and they're going on, you know, traveling for business and they're all yeah. meeting for happy hour, and you're like the underpaid, overworked surgery intern who's the lowest person on the totem pole.
Yeah.
It's really depressing. It's demoralizing.
Wow.
You know, there's no other way to say it.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
And so you're just thinking about like yourself in 10 years, 5 years down the road, and just kind of thinking of the possibilities.
It's hard to even say that because you're at a point there where you don't know where this is going to end up. But I think that more than anything, I have to say like, well, at those moments, it would be like, well, I guess if I could trade places and be, you know, working in finance or whatever, and
yeah,
would that be awesome? And I'd be like, well, no, then I would have lost this whole thing that I wanted to
yeah.
do. And so, you know, it's very personal.
Yeah. Is there any kind of advice you might give to like maybe your younger self, the age of 18, or someone else that's like, again, looking for their future? What kind of advice would you give either of those people?
The only thing I can say is just you do you.
Yeah.
Everyone just is so different. And there's such a different, unique path for every individual yeah. on earth. And there's so much value to be added to society. But it's so hard for individuals to find out what that small niche is for them.
Yeah.
And I think that there's not enough emphasis put on the discovery phase.
Yeah.
Because at such a young age, you know, young adults are being shuttled into pathways. And if you don't have this pre-existing idea, you're just getting blown around with the tide and you don't really know. So all of a sudden you wake up and you're like, well, I'm in this pathway. And so I don't think there's enough time that's put on the discovery. I think that discovery is more than half of the battle.
Yeah.
Because like I said, once you have that moment of complete solitude to say, hey, what's that one thing that if I could accomplish it, I wouldn't care what they thought.
Yeah.
Like I said earlier, if you're able to have that moment,
yeah.
then the execution is just a formula.
Is there anything looking back that you could have done differently or would have done differently to maybe get you faster to the point that you're currently at or help you overcome something later on in life or
yes.
anything like that? Okay.
A million things.
Okay.
At every fork in the road, there was something that could have been done that made it easier.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because I was in training and I was talking to a friend of mine who's also a physician, but she's actually a pediatrician. And I was like complaining to her about that. And she's like, this was so many years ago. And she looked at me and she said, yeah, but like all you get here is the journey.
Yeah.
She was like, so what if you had got there faster or something would have happened better? Like all we get here in life is the journey. Like yeah. there's no end point. And like that was totally struck me. And I was so overwhelmed at being like, you can always get somewhere like faster, better, easier, but everyone's just in their own human struggle to like do the best they can do. And, you know, it's really important to remember that.
Yeah.
Because getting somewhere faster or better or easier isn't always going to be like the more gratifying experience. All we have is just moments together of experience and relationships that we share. So there's a million things you could do differently.
So, yeah. So enjoy the struggle sometimes.
Yeah. And nobody should be discouraged by, I did this, so it's going to take me more time. I mean, everyone's on their own path.
Yeah.
And I don't think that that's really important to get somewhere faster or better.
Just enjoy the journey. Enjoy
yeah.
enjoy everything you have.
Yeah.
Positive and negatives.
Yes. Yes.
What's next for yourself and the practice?
Well, we're always expanding and growing. I think that something that I've really sort of taken on in this phase of my career is really focusing in on how I can incorporate holistic techniques and a lot more of integrative wellness stuff, because I think that there's a huge overlap between people's self-care, taking care of themselves, their skincare, all these things that my patients are talking about and thinking about and doing in their lives. And I think that right now we're in a time where Western medicine doctors, specifically plastic surgeons, aren't engaged in that conversation as much as they should be. They're kind of over here in their camp, like, oh, I do surgery and I do this. But I don't think that there's enough engagement in bridging the spectrum of that there is in terms of people's, you know, wellness journeys and self-care journeys and how those things can be incorporated into.
So how does that happen? How do you bring on this holistic mindset incorporated into the Western?
I think it first started when early on when I was in practice, I had a lot of experience with, you know, helping patients through recovering and the types of surgeries and everything. And I quickly started realizing that I think what's best for people is the more minimally invasive way, the more simple way that you can address a problem, the better solution you can give to somebody. You know, the more that you can pare down and try to treat someone with the less invasive, the more minimally invasive approach, people can get better results, more natural results, they can heal faster, they can be back in their life faster, and that's kind of where it first started.
Yeah.
From that, and trying to scale stuff back to say, like, what's the simplest way we can solve this for you?
Yeah.
And then from that, it kind of expanded. You know, it's just like anything with an appetite. Like, the more you consume, the more you're learning about it. And so then I was like, all right, well, how can we optimize your healing? Huh. What kind of homeopathic regimen can we start pre-op for you to heal, you know, better? And it kind of just started slowly like that down a pathway. And it's really just driven by what your own interest is.
Yeah. Now this is just me kind of thinking, how do you think technology is going to play as we grow technology into your business?
Yeah. I think technology is like going to be one of the top influencing factors in how plastic surgery and the business of plastic surgery is evolving. That's part of the reason why it's so exciting is because there's so much change constantly happening.
Yeah.
As a provider, it's very exciting. I'm not doing the same thing I was doing 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Everything is being modified. It's being augmented. It's being improved upon. There's whole lot of new and different techniques and technology that can supplement our practice to make patients' experiences better.
Yeah.
And that's just going to continue, you know, it's going to continue just on its rapid rate of expanding, I think, to offer more options.
Do you think technology, even in the social platform, because one of the things you were talking about before we got on was the idea of cleaning up a person or beautifying a person, I guess, aka selfie picture?
Yes.
And so social media being so prevalent now, mm-hmm. with Instagram, Facebook, all these different platforms, and it's probably going to grow even more so. Do you think that's going to play any sort of factor in your field?
It already has tremendously, and it will continue to. And I think it's a really positive thing.
Yeah.
Social media has, I think I already mentioned earlier, has already kind of normalized the experience of plastic surgery, where people no longer feel like shame or that they should hide it or that people are going to judge them. Social media has created a wonderful era of pride. You know, this is who I am, and like just being proud about it. And I think that that's such a great feeling inside for people to feel. It's also, like I may have mentioned to you earlier, it's also kind of changed the direction of where plastic surgery is going. Plastic surgery of yesteryear was these huge, overdone, overpulled, overtight, you know, looks that nowadays, you know, when you see walking down the street, you know it's plastic surgery, but that's in a bad way.
Yeah.
People don't want to look like that now. They don't want to look like that at all. They want to look like, hey, I have this really great filter on my selfie, and it optimizes my face. So I want to look just like myself, but like on my best day.
Do you get that a lot, where someone takes
a
picture and they say,
absolutely. And it's so helpful for me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, please bring in the picture where like you are killing it.
Yeah.
Because that's what we'll do. You know what I mean? Having that point of reference is hugely important.
Can you tell, like, let's say if a celebrity's on TV or something like that, can you actually tell if they've had surgery done? I guess a good surgery.
Yeah, a lot of times, you know, it's impossible. A lot of times. If you meet someone in person, nearly always.
Oh, wow.
You know, media is so deceptive because the images that were shown in magazines, even the images that were shown on screens, are deceptively edited or processed in a way where, you know, and I think that that's a lot of what people's complaint is about, kind of like the fashion glossy magazines of the former era, is that it's setting an unrealistic ideal of beauty.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of what people's kind of complaint is about that.
That just be tough because you're dealing with something that's mocked up, that's not real.
Yeah, sometimes you are. And yeah. And so anyway, it's hard to know.
Yeah. Yeah,
most of the time, yes, but.
If let's say someone's, again, looking at the idea that they want to make themselves the best self they could be, mm-hmm. and come in here and talk to you, what's the best platform of finding you online or wherever it might be?
My website,
okay.
MaloneMD.com.
Okay.
I'm on Instagram. I'm like pre-millennial, so I'm kind of a dinosaur on Instagram, and it may not be like a super hit, but it's Melanie Malone MD, but yeah, either one of those two.
And then I know you also do some, you give back to the community.
Yes. Yes.
Let's finish off on that idea.
Absolutely.
If you could tell us a little about what you do.
The two things that I'm most passionate about are, one is my cleft lip surgical missions I go on every year. It's to South America. It treats children born with cleft lip and other facial deformities. It's the most beautiful, meaningful, heartfelt experience to have. It changes these kids' lives. It's just, it's hard to overstate how like soul cleansing that experience is. It's beautiful. And yeah. It's something that I feel really passionate about. And then the other thing is I do a lot of pro bono domestic violence work.
Oh, wow.
For victims of domestic violence. And there's such a need for it. And there's such a need for physical repair, yeah. so that victims can begin their emotional repair. Those two things are very tied together.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate all the time you've kind of given us. There's, I think, a lot of information. It's, again, I said it already once. I think you have your passion, and that's what probably keeps you going through all the struggles. I don't know if myself, I could have gone through all that schooling to keep pushing through.
You've had your own journey of struggles.
Yeah, other journeys and other struggles, but schooling was definitely a different ballpark. But yeah, if you guys are listening right now and you're looking to get some work done, you're just kind of curious about what's out there, maybe you saw a filter that you're like, I look so spot on this right here. Follow her on Instagram, look on her website, and reach out to Melanie Malone.
You got it. Thanks.
Thank you again.
Thank you for listening to The Road to Growth, Success of an Entrepreneur. Please like, subscribe, and stay connected. Visit www.vinnysd.com.
Yeah, I created a website.
Hope to see you again next week. Team Vinny SD, signing off.